13, 3 through 9, Matthew 16, verse 26, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the world, whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
What do all those verses have in common? What's all those verses teaching? If you tie them all together, what are they saying? Did you pay attention as Jack read? I know it's a lot of reading, and I asked him if he wanted to do it all or whether he wanted me to get a couple more. He said, no, I can do it, and he did, and he did a good job, and I'm proud of him. Whenever we look at those three texts, those three passages, what did all those things say? Let me tell you what I come up with. Nothing is more important than the salvation of souls. When you look at all three of those that he read for us, that's what it's pointing to, and that's what it means to each one of us. For the last several weeks, we talked a week or two on elders, a week or two on deacons. We've talked about teachers, and tonight we're going to talk about Nick and talk about me, but not just us, because each one of us, I think, this lesson can apply to, we can all learn from, and that we can take part in everything that we're talking about. As far as a preacher or a teacher or a youth minister or whatever the case may be. Friday at work, we were sitting there in the office and I was doing paperwork, and I got a phone call from a town. He was a fire chief, and he said, I've got some problems with a hydrant, and I wanted to know if you could fix them. And he said, I've got 245, I think was the number, that he wants us to come and take care of and fix and or repair. I said, sir, you have called the right place. I said, we are in the hydrant fixing business. And I said, we'll be glad to come over and take a look and fix your hydrants. He said, you think you can fix my hydrants? I said, well, I guarantee you that when we get done, those hydrants will be as they should be. I said, we will either repair them or we'll replace them. But if you're concerned about your hydrants, we're the company that can come take care of it. That's the business we're in. Well, what business are we in here? Got to thinking about that this afternoon when Dale and I was driving down the road coming back from Martin. Got to thinking about, what business are we really in here? We're in the soul-winning business. Every one of us sitting in here, if someone were to come or call or we find out about someone and we know that they're not a Christian, we can help them. That needs to be our mindset. That needs to be the way that we look at it, because that's the business that we're in. We have the truth, we have the Bible, and we should have the knowledge that we can take and we can sit down with someone, and as we turn the pages of the Bible, we can explain to them and teach them in such a way that they will come to know Jesus, and then they will be obedient to the Word of God. And that's the business that each one of us should be in. But when we think about the responsibility of the church, and we think about the hired help, maybe we ought to say, the preacher or the youth coordinator or whoever it might be, what do we expect from our workers? When you look at me or you look at Nick or you look at whoever may be here next or whoever's been here in the past, what do you expect when you look at a preacher or a youth minister? What do you expect from them? What kind of work should you expect from people who preach and or teach the Word of God? Well, I got a few suggestions for us tonight and all of us that we can take, hopefully, and make application to our own lives, because I think it's very, very important that each one of us, for the very purpose I started this talking about, we started talking about elders and then deacons and teachers, and here we sit tonight looking at us. And I think the first thing is we need to be prepared. Whether you're standing in this pulpit or whether you're teaching or speaking at a devotional or whether you're teaching a class, we need to make sure that we're prepared when we stand before a group of people. It should not be something that we take lightly. It should not be something that when we open the pages of the Bible that we haven't given any thought to it, because the Word of God is powerful. It touches hearts, it touches lives, and it changes hearts and it changes lives. And it should not be something that we take lightly. It should not be something that we don't put a lot of consideration in, a lot of prayer in, a lot of study in, a lot of thought in. How can I say these things? What can I say? And how can I say these things to impact someone's life and make a difference in their life? Because at the end of the day, I believe, or at least I want to believe more than anything else, that every one of us wants one thing and one thing only, and that is a home in heaven. At the end of the day, no matter what we're doing day in and day out, I want to think that all of us is looking toward heaven and all of us is longing for that day that we walk through those gates one day and we see our Heavenly Father. And we stand there in front of Him and we hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What a life we will have lived when we get to heaven one day and we hear Him say that great voice, "Well done." And I want to believe that that's what everyone wants. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, it talks about how we ought to be prepared, or at least it implies the importance of being prepared. Paul told Timothy there, he said, "Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine." He says, "Continue in them, for in doing this," listen to this, "thou shalt both save thyself." But he didn't stop there. He went further, "and them that hear thee." You know, that verse tells us the importance of the Word of God. When he tells us to take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine, we need to take heed to the Word of God, because if we take heed to this, he is saying we're going to save ourselves by the reading and the study and the knowledge and the obedience of this Word. But not only just us. Those that hear someone preach and or teach the Word of God. You know, there is nothing greater than this book that I hold in my hand. We can read no matter what book we may have. Matter of fact, I've got a library at home. It's got books, biblical books, and it's got books on hunters and Duck Dynasty. I'm just running the list of the top shelf there. I've got a book on Bill Dundee. I've got a lot of different books in my library. I got one on Walking Tall, Dave Ramsey's book. I've got a lot of different books in my library, but there is none greater that anyone can name than this one that I'm holding in my hand, because this is the one that changes our lives. And it changes our destiny. And I think if you think seriously, especially Nick and I, as we're pointing to ourselves, when he points out that you'll both save yourself and them that hear you, it shows you the importance of what we're doing. And that's why we need to be prepared. What business are we in? We're in a soul-winning business. And it's important. But he goes on in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Whether it's Nick, myself, or each one of you, we need to know the word of God. And really, that's the first point and the main point I want to make. And these sub-points we're about to look at underneath this is really totally opposite of what we just said. Because if we will abide by the first point here, the others will not matter. But if we don't do this, maybe that's the second point, if we don't do this, what happens? If we don't take heed to ourselves and we don't study the Word of God, we don't focus, and when we think about the doctrine of the Word of God, what does that mean? First of all, that we read, we study, we know it, we live it, we apply it, and we teach it each day of our life. That we have opportunities that come our way. It may be small opportunities, but I'm going to tell you something, y'all. When that door opens, we need to go in. We don't need to wait for the door to open the second time. We need to go in the first time that it opens, and we need to at least sow a little seed. And then have faith in God that the increase will come. And we talk to people about that. But let me get to the second point. If we're not going to do this, this is what's going to happen, because I think it's so important that we have a strong ministry, if I can say it that way, a strong ministry, evangelism, a work, however you want to word that. But it starts with the eldership, because I think the eldership has to be focused on what the goal and what the mission of the congregation needs to be, and it needs to be soul winning. And I think it goes there from our deacons, and our deacons need to carry out the work that gets us to that point. Then you can put my name there, Nick's name, and every one of us that teaches a class, and then that's where we go. But if we don't do these things, we're going to be weak. Weak. Probably not very many of us want to admit that we're weak in anything. Matter of fact, I think it was the second song that we were singing tonight. I got frustrated and I looked over at Wendy and I said, I don't feel right. And it aggravated me. And she said, what's wrong? I said, nothing. I'll be fine. But I get frustrated when my mind and my body don't work right. I get frustrated because it makes me feel weak. And I want to be strong in every aspect that I can be. And if we're not going to be strong in the Word of God, then we should be a little frustrated with ourselves, because when we're weak, weak teaching causes a lack of conversions. If we're not going to be strong in our preaching and our teaching, then we're not going to have the conversions that we ought to have. Whether we're talking about in a classroom or whether we're talking about right here. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. If we're not going to be ashamed of something, then we're going to study it and we're going to know it and we're going to live it each and every day of our life. And we're going to try to carry that mission and carry that thought everywhere that we go. And I've been trying on Sunday morning in the class in the back, I've been trying to stress to our young people back there about decision making and where you stand and not being scared to stand. Even if you're standing by yourself, still stand where you need to stand. And that's difficult. It's very hard to make up your mind, especially as a young person. We say that. Maybe we say that too often. It's not just young people. It's everybody. Everybody has a difficult time standing by themselves. If you're going to get in a discussion with someone and you know it's a heated discussion, or you know that it's strong-willed one way or the other, we like someone with us, don't we? I would like for Nick to sit on my side if we're going to go discuss the Bible against someone, just in case it goes somewhere and I need someone to help me. We like to have someone with us, so it's difficult to stand by ourselves. But I love what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and I use it often and I think about it often, because too many times I'm afraid that we may be ashamed of where we're standing. We may be ashamed of what we believe. We may be ashamed of what we're teaching. But Paul's saying, don't do that, because it's what's going to save your soul. You know, saving souls is not popular today in our society. I think that's an accurate statement to say. I didn't have it written down, but I think it's right. Because it's not many times today, especially if you talk about in Charlie's prayer tonight, and I appreciate that. Charlie's prayer is we think about our country, we think about our politicians, we think about the news media. Not many times does someone pause someone when they're debating on Fox or CNN or wherever it may be. They don't pause very often and say, wait a minute, let's see what God has to say about it. I don't know, matter of fact, if I've ever heard that. So I don't know that it's real popular for someone to not be ashamed, because we don't bring it up much, it doesn't seem. But when we think about how we stand and where we stand, if we're going to be weak, we're not going to have strong conversions. Number two, weak teaching. Well, let me say it like this. We don't ever need to teach or preach in such a way that would cause someone to be weakened. We need to be careful when we teach. We need to be careful when we preach. The last thing we want to do is to teach a class in such a way that we hurt someone. And I've been in classes, and forgive me, y'all know Tim is Tim. I've been in classes where I've drawn up. We need to be careful when we're sitting in a Sunday morning setting, especially, and we have visitors here. In my opinion, we need to be careful, because sometimes we can get into some discussions that we may hurt more than we help. I believe with all my heart that we can preach the truth without calling names. I believe that. And I get scared sometimes that I'm not pointing fingers, not trying to be ugly. I'm certainly not trying to offend anyone. It's just something for us to think about. When we sit in a group and we assume that we're all believe and think the same thing, that may not be the case. And for us to directly point someone out, that's going to weaken that person, hurt that person, and probably cause that person to think less of the church and possibly never come back. I had a dear friend when I was young that I got to studying with and got to attending worship service with us, and someone in that congregation said something one day, and he never went back again. Now, was it the person's fault that said it, or was it the person's fault that was offended and never went back to the truth? I don't know. But we have to be careful how we preach and how we teach, because we don't want to weaken people. We want to build people up. And I think we do that by telling the truth and stressing the truth each and every sermon or class that we teach. And I know that goes against the grain with people. And I know back in the 50s, I've read, and I know way back when we had debates and we had discussions and we had name callings, and I've even read stories about fist fight. But that's not the way I think we need to do it. And I think it's important that we don't weaken people when we teach. The third thing. Weak teaching leads to church problems. You know, churches are being torn apart by false teaching and preaching. And it goes because I think if we don't look at the scriptures and we don't read the Word of God, for example, Matthew 19:9. deals with marriage and divorce and remarriage, and we've had lessons on that. We've had lessons on gays and lesbians, and we've had lessons here on gambling and drinking, and we've looked at the scripture on all those things. And in today's society, if we don't have strong teaching on certain things, we're going to be weak as a congregation, because we're going to get splintered and we're going to get divided. There's a lot of congregations, not here that I know of, that's being divided right now because of some of the movements in the world today. And when it gets hard, y'all, is when it hits home. We can stand here all day long and say, I'm going to stand firm right here. This is where I stand. I'm not going to give in. This is exactly what it teaches. Then something happens in your family, and it hits you right in the mouth. We've got to have grounded truth being taught here. It doesn't matter if it's my family or your family. The truth and the Word of God has to be taught. The best prevention for church problems is a strong pulpit, strong classroom. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That's what we're being taught there. Watch out. Make sure that you're grounded in the truth. We're warned in the Bible that we need to get to a point in our life where we're off milk and we start eating meat. That we're growing ourselves and we're continuing to move forward in our own faith and our own knowledge. You know, one of the worst things I've seen over my 20-something years, I guess, of preaching now, the things that bother me the most is people being offended over minor things, and they leave. They leave the church. They walk away from it because of something that's just minor. I'm going to tell you something. If we preach the truth, we shouldn't be able to argue over the truth. We may argue over opinions, but we shouldn't be able to argue over the truth. The truth, as we read it in the Word of God, when we read and we study and we apply these things to our life, we should come to some type of agreement. Well, the third point I want to make is we have to understand our purpose. We're in a soul-winning business, but I went a little further with point number three than just saying that. Our purpose is this. I think it's threefold. Number one, to preach and to teach the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and following, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." That's the great commission that was given. And I think that's our first and top priority as we think about our work. That is, we are to preach and teach the gospel. The good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. That people need to come to Jesus. People need to be obedient to God. People need to meet the blood of Jesus in obedience in a watery grave of baptism. Change your life, just like Philip told the eunuch. And he told him in such a way, as they were traveling down the road, they stopped, they got out of the chariot, they went down in the water, and he was baptized. He saw the need, he had the desire, and he said, "Here is water, what hindereth me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they commanded the chariot to stand still, and the Bible says they went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him, and he went on his way rejoicing. That's what we need to be teaching. That's what people need to come to know. The second thing in this, we have to understand our purpose. The second fold, as we put this together, is to teach the saved. We're going to go out and we're going to tell people about Jesus, and we're going to try to draw them in and get them to obey, but we have to teach the saved as well. In the verse we just read in verse 20, it says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." You know, that's a continual process, is it not? We have to continue to be told I do, over and over and over again, reminding ourselves, this is what I need to be doing. This is where I need to be going. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They kept doing those things. So we're going to teach and preach the gospel, and we're going to teach the saved. And then the third thing is to uphold and defend the truth. And that's one thing we don't want to fall short of. We've got to be able to uphold and defend the truth. When someone comes in and they're teaching error, we need to be able to defend the truth. We need to be students of the Bible. We need to be able to go and say the Word of God says this. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Uphold and defend the truth. And then finally tonight, I think we need to work as though the destiny of this congregation depends on it. That's how we work. As though the future of this congregation depends on what we do. And we're devoted and dedicated to it. The verse I started with, or one of the first ones, is Romans 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. Folks, we've got to get the gospel out. We've got to be able to preach and teach. And that's where we need your help. We need your help to invite and to get people here to worship service, to get people here to hear the Word of God being taught, to get people here to be able to set up Bible studies with people. If you're not comfortable sitting down and studying the Bible with someone, get one of the elders, get Nick, get myself, one of the deacons, get someone here to sit down with you to study the Bible with someone. We need to be in the business of winning souls, and we need to be in the business of encouraging souls to stay where they're at right here. I think that's our purpose. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we want to be an encouragement to you. I've already talked about in the lesson tonight, Philip and the eunuch, and I can't think of a better example than that. The man had went to try to study and to learn and find out about God, about Jesus, and Philip came and taught him. And in the process of being taught, he was humbled, his spirit was humbled. He wanted to be obedient, and he was obedient. All of that is wonderful, and all of that is great, and all of that shows us exactly what we need to do. But I love the last part of it as well, where it said, and he went on his way rejoicing. He was happy. He had changed his life. He had changed his whole outlook on life because he knew he had been obedient to God. If you're not a Christian, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing a song. I plead with you to step out of that aisle tonight and come forward. Come forward confessing your faith, repenting of your sins, and be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you've been unfaithful, you're not living a life that's pleasing to God, and you know that you're not where you need to be in that relationship, and you need help, you need prayers of the church, then you too step out of that aisle and you come forward, and we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. But if you have sin in your life that's private, take care of that tonight as well. But I challenge each one of us, not just me and Nick and I, each one of us to be dedicated to teaching and preaching the gospel. Let's get in the business of winning souls. Won't you come while we stand and sing?